The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Another open line today, so call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Well, just to reiterate that scam that's going around at the moment, you'll get a message, an iMessage it'll be, from the Department for Work and Pensions, the DWP. Well, trigger straight away, because in the UK it just says you've not applied for your winter fuel payment for 2025-26, or the information that you previously provided was incomplete or incorrect, and you have to click on, and of course if you click on, then all sorts of stuff is going to happen. Don't click on it. Do not click on it. If you're currently in dialogue with them, pick up the phone and telephone them, but please don't do that. Who has been fly-tipping around Dalby? You can see the story at manxradio.com. Some absolute donkey. I'm disparaging donkeys there. Somebody's been fly-tipping around Dalby. A large amount of glass mixed in with gardening and building materials was dumped near the Round Table Road. Now, whoever's done this, it would be great if you know who it is, just to shop them, please. Somebody somewhere has dumped a load of building materials and glass. Glass is dangerous, first of all, for anybody who possibly may be walking around there. Child may be walking around there, or a dog, or any of the wild animals. If you're getting rid of waste, you're being urged to check how and where the waste is being disposed of. So if you paid somebody to take a load of glass away and some building material, and you paid them cash, that'll probably be a bit of a key, then it could be them. Somebody's done this. And 631212, if you can get in touch with police, with a constabulary, it's a criminal offence, fines of up to £5,000. It will be nice if somebody did get nicked and fined that much for despoiling the land around Dalby, around the Round Table. Absolutely shocking. Do you know who it is? Because if you do, please do something about it. Do the right thing. Because once people start fly-tipping and get away with it, well, if they think the coast is clear, then, but it won't be clear, because it'll be going in all sorts of places. What a shocker that is. David's first with us today. Hi, David.
Andy, great success this morning at the Chief Minister's Conference.
Yeah.
We can score this down the construction industry, and I think the Man in Line itself, because the Chief Minister, great speech. I'd love to get a copy of it, to tell you the truth, and you must get a copy, because there was plenty in it. And what it was, the major thing I was lighting my heart about it, is they've conceded the thing about apprentices regarding the 10 people that's in a company. They've lifted the cap. So anybody that has more than 10 employees now can apply for the grants. So hopefully people out there who are young fellas struggling to get an apprenticeship or get into a job and whatever, they can get back onto the firms and say to them, look, I believe the cap's been lifted now. You can apply for grant aid assistance so I can get a job, and we can get these kids for the future when we're not here.
Well, that's fantastic. When do they say it's going to start?
I think he's... That's why I needed a speech, really, because I was taken back a little bit. But I think it was for immediate effect. So maybe somebody could try that out and just say if the government departments know about it. And because the Chief Minister said it, and there was plenty of people in the room. I was sitting next to a couple. The guy was in a wheelchair. They'd come to the Isle of Man some 20-something years ago there. And I was talking to them in the intervals, and they were saying to me, it's great. We don't appreciate, us Manxies don't appreciate how much access we have to politicians. And we can go to a seminar or a conference and listen to them and judge them. on their performance to see how good, bad, or indifferent, or are they actually listening to us?
Well, as you say, there are, I mean, put it this way, if there's one thing, if there's one place on the earth that you can't complain about politicians, it's here, because, as you say, you can see them, you can shake hands with them, you can chat to them, you can phone them. There are very few politicians who don't make themselves available. So, well, that's great news today.
Yeah, I think it's positive. And we've got more tomorrow. So I'll be up early. That's the only thing about it. I had an 8 o'clock start, so I had to be there about 7:30. But you meet a lot of interesting people. I'd go there if you got some free time. They're starting to dwindle a little bit now. The high-powered, when the chief minister was on, was packed. But when what I call the second base is coming on, they were a bit, people have disappeared. But they've got to go to work, haven't they, earn the pennies.
Well, as you say, but it's a good place to also rub shoulders with people, isn't it?
Oh, yes. No, I've said hello to a few people, and I growled at a few. The only saddest thing, I've got to say this before anybody else comes on and says, there were three police officers that came through in a line. Bop, bop, bop. We were having a break at 10 o'clock there for a cup of tea or coffee, which was free. I noticed I looked at them really hard. And you know what they had on their hip?
Oh, crikey.
A pistol.
Oh, Lord.
And I just thought to myself, no, I'm not criticising the chief constable. Did we really need three of them on that particular day when we got G4S in there? Okay, they'll just say to people, you know, move on, you know, you've had enough whinges. We're not aggressive, I don't think, anyway. We're more aggressive on the radio, aren't we? Because they will be listening today. The politicians will be listening, and there'll be other people listening too, and hopefully the chief minister's listening too, because I think he performed today excellent.
Okay.
All right,
appreciate it. Thanks, David.
Bye.
Cheers. Now, 14 minutes past 12. If you want more information about that government conference, if you go to manxradio.com, click on the news page, you can actually get tickets there. There's links through to the Eventbrite site from manxradio.com for that today. Howard's with us now. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. That was quick. No, just following on from David. It's a good thing the apprenticeship scheme has been introduced again. Won't. One word I failed to hear lots of times, and David will put me right on this, was indentured. And that is where the apprentices were taken on by a company.
Yeah.
And of course they were employed by that company for the fixed period of their apprenticeship. They couldn't just bring them in now, have them for cheap labour, get rid of them, and then bring another young fella in later on. They had to have a very good reason to get rid of them. I'll stand corrected on this because David is au fait with the system. But apprentices were a valuable part of a company and more valuable to the apprentice because they had a fairly steep learning curve at the time when they went into it. And they had to have somebody that would know exactly what they were doing and not be just used as a, well, what we used to refer to as a shuttering joiner, where you could knock a nail in, you could build a house. And I know of one apprentice has gone back a long time, and this man, as he is now, has his own business. And he served under a fairly strict joiner, and I can remember him getting told off, do not waste timber. And that fella was the only young fella at the time, and he's turned out to be a first-class joiner, not a wood butcher, a joiner. And you'll see, he lives in Tremode, and he does a lot of carving, handwork, and everything. Mm-hmm. And that was all through his training from this one man. I'll name him as Eddie Clegg. He used to live in Onken, and he was a good joiner, and he trained David Kane. And that young man grew up to be a damn good joiner and something to be proud of. But this is where, as I say, unless they're indentured, where they can't get rid of them on a whim, then that is a good idea.
As I understand it, I think an indentured apprentice, it's an agreement for a fixed length of time, isn't it?
That's right. Yep. I don't know what they are, the length of times. It may be different, but different jobs. But there are a lot of people out there that would use the apprentices as a cheap form of labour, and that has got to be watched very carefully, because this is a lifetime of work being built into a young head.
Yeah.
And it's got to be quality work, because in the building trade, or any trade, engineering or otherwise, that good training and first-class training never leaves you. So that word indentured, I hope it's been involved in all of the apprentice signatures.
Okay. All right, Howard. Thanks for calling today.
Take care.
Appreciate it. Thanks for that. We were talking yesterday about religious education in schools and how it might be changing, or they're doing a consultation on it. Steve said, the fact is we live in a majority secular society these days. Those with minority religious beliefs should therefore not seek to impose their beliefs on the majority in schools, assisted dying, or anything else, says Steve. You got any thoughts on this? Or we're trying to find out what is religious education in schools at the moment. The government's tried to turn empty shops and offices into accommodation ever since COVID. People living in Manchester city centre are starting to move out of the city to the outskirts. No green spaces. Well, we're not too far from green spaces in our towns at the moment. And I don't think the purpose is to turn shops into accommodation. I think there may be the purpose of building some houses. I mean, there are some houses within Douglas itself, certainly in Peel. People are living above shops, and certainly in Parliament Street in Ramsey. But getting people to live in town, I mean, first of all, it's fairly obvious that because of internet shopping, because of the web, lots of shops are finding it difficult to survive. It's also a fact that a lot of the rents that are being charged for retail units in our shopping streets are fairly steep. And the landlords know full well they're charging a premium for being there. So we don't quite know what's going to happen with this. And the proposal is to bring people back into town centres to live. And we got any thoughts on that? Do call, text, email, WhatsApp. Regarding the airlines share the cost associated with passengers who've got reduced mobility at Liverpool Airport. This only covers equipment and staff costs and doesn't take any profit from it, says Paul in Castletown. We had a call on that yesterday. Could the three layers of tarmac at Derby Haven covers and the seals? Maybe they're sealing the coal tar underneath, that is. And a message in that just says, will there be a big ribbon-cutting ceremony at Balfane Roundabout? Or would you let Michelle Haywood loose with scissors? I'm sure she's very safe. Actually, a week today, Michelle Haywood's going to be on Man in Line. We'll be talking about the Department of Infrastructure. And, of course, there is a lot to talk about it. Lots of messages in today. I'll get to the messages in just a few moments' time. I think we've got, I think it is Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
What's on your mind, Julie?
We've been asking for a ramp because I've got steps outside me house.
Yeah.
To get down. And I've had a bad accident, and I've smashed my knee in several places, and had to have an operation.
Yeah.
Because I can't get down the steps, I have to have a stretcher ambulance, and I've missed 5 appointments, hospital appointments.
Who would come and put the ramp in, Julie?
The Department of the DOINT, the Department of Infrastructure.
And have you asked for a ramp?
Yeah, but it got turned down.
Right. Have you spoken to your MHK about this?
No, it's with the OT again at the moment.
Is it? All right, okay. And when did all this happen, Julie?
Well, I've smashed my knee up 6 weeks ago.
Right, okay. So you've asked for a ramp and they've turned it down.
This was a year ago.
Oh, good grief.
The OT asked for a ramp and it got turned down.
Well, if you've asked for it and you're due it, I just wonder why it's not happened. Why do you think it's not happened?
I do not know.
Well, all right, Julie, we've heard your story. If anybody can help, if anybody knows what the process is and who to go to get something like that sorted out, it would be helping Julie. So if you can help, then text, email, call and WhatsApp. Thank you, Julie. Good to hear from you. A message in that just says, I can't believe Isle of Man residents will be responsible for that despicable act of fly-tipping in our beautiful countryside. Who are these people? I hope they're going to be found, says John. Now, somebody somewhere knows who this is. Somebody somewhere knows. If you've had glass, gardening and building materials taken away by somebody in a van, then it might be worth finding out from them where they sent it, because it's obvious they didn't want to pay. If it's commercial waste, they would have had to pay or had permission to take it to one of the recycling areas. But somebody's decided, and of course it's Dalby, so it's in the west of the Isle of Man. Are you around Peel, Patrick, St John's area? And you've had some glass taken away, building materials, gardening materials, big sheets of glass. You want a picture of it? We've got the DEFA photo at manxradio.com. Large quantity of glass dumped near Dalby by the Round Table Road. Who on earth would do anything? Why would you do that? Why would you go out in the morning and think, that's a great idea, I'll lob it in the countryside. Somebody else can deal with it. Please, let's find out who it is. Text, email, call and WhatsApp, or better still, call the constabulary. A year tomorrow, we'll have fired the starting pistol. The 24th of September 2026 is our general election. It's all going to be happening. And in the year prior to that, we'll be getting to the bottom of absolutely everything. We'll be talking to every candidate. Every candidate in every constituency will be offered an interview on Manx Radio. We often do video interviews. We'll be taking on and out and about, outside broadcasts, going to find out more about all the candidates, the issues in all the constituencies. So if you think you can get away from the general election, tough luck. We'll be getting to the... Of course, we'll be live on the night. We'll be live all day long. Oh, remember also, tomorrow, it's the Ramsey Public Accountability Meeting tomorrow at the Town Hall. 7 o'clock tomorrow night in Ramsey Town Hall. It's going to be streamed live via the Commissioner's Facebook page. But if you're a Ramsey resident, you want to find out more, the public accountability, if you've got something that's going to be in your bonnet about anything, or you just want to see how things work, I'm sure there'll be a cup of tea there at the Ramsey Town Hall tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Eddie's on now. Hello, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. All right, mate?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
That's good. You can't emphasise that enough, actually. It's going to be a very interesting 12 months, isn't it?
Well, the thing is that we've all got to find out as much information. I'm all for everybody getting as much information as possible, because when you have all the information, you can make choices, you can make decisions. Next year is going to be a really, really important general election.
I think a lot of the new agendas will be emphasising how you interpret the information that they're giving out. For instance, at the last election, there were so many all turned to green because it was a popular move, you know, and not always a popular move is the right one. That isn't why it came on, actually. The reason why it came on, I heard you talking about fly tipping.
Yeah.
My daughter, who lives in Manchester area, has been in touch with me on the phone a bit. There's a golf course in a place called Urmston, Flixton. Do you know it?
I know Urmston.
Yeah, well, the golf course, I think, is in Urmston. They've just had floods the other day, but it was caused by a burst main. It's flooded the area around just by the golf course. But just recently, the gypsies moved in. And they moved on to the golf course, hundreds of them. The police, the local council and so forth have to go through all the rigmarole of, you know, what the laws are these days to get them removed and so on. It took nearly 2 weeks to get them moved, or moved on, asked to move on, by which time they had tipped so much rubbish, it has cost hundreds of thousands to clean the place up once they moved. The point I'm getting at here is, if the gypsies would have somewhere to tip it for free, and they wouldn't do that, I don't think. Not even gypsies want to do it, but they're very greedy people. They don't like paying tax, insurance or anything. We surely over the years have learnt the lesson that if you keep charging all these astronomical prices at the tip, then people will fly tip. It's where I live in Ronnog, me and Phil Gorn cleared up fridge. Can't remember what it fridge and tellies, I think. People will dump them anywhere. A lot of it doesn't go mentioned to the police or anything. We just move it. The amount of stuff that I've taken back from people who dump out in the countryside is ridiculous.
And where do you take it? Where do you take it, Eddie?
I take it to the tip myself. But if it's something that creates a charge, I phone the tip up. I say, either you come out and collect it yourself, which will cost you money, or if I bring it to you, well, you do away with the charge. Yeah. And they usually say, well, if you bring it in, if it's been fly-tipped, we'll do away with the charge,
Eddie,
which we did.
Eddie, in the past year, how many things have you picked up that were fly-tipped?
Well, one that's official, which is one with Phil Gorn, which was a large fridge, and I think it was a telly and a micro or something like that. But apart from that, I would say in the last 3 years, probably 15 to 20 items. But I don't report them. If they're only small things, they're just, they're going to block my water course. I've got a water course right alongside on the road. Now, if that gets blocked up for something like a fridge thrown in or a microwave or a cooker or something like that, and it will do me harm.
When you say small, a small thing, what do you mean small things?
Well, microwaves is the most popular thing to just turf over.
Right.
Well, I don't know what the charge is for a microwave, is it?
That's about £40, something like that, perhaps.
Yeah, well, 40 quid. Tellies, what's a telly? Is that about 40 quid?
Well, it depends how big it is.
Yeah, that's true, but we get them dumped all the time in the ditch up here. Regular.
But how does that make you feel? Because Ronnog's gorgeous.
Well, exactly. It makes me feel I want to tidy it up myself, but I shouldn't have to. And I don't know how many times people have actually said to our government or our commissioners, stop the fees in the tip. The Southern Amenity Centre, when it first opened, I helped to build after that. All them outer walls there, I built them. The place was run really good. Everything was free. And I don't know whether somebody can look at Hansard or whatever, but I think the original reasons for building these amenity centres has gone out the window. You know, it's meant to be that you could take things there for free. If it's worth recycling, then it can be recycled. And so on and so on. In other words, it was something for the people.
Yeah.
But now the people are paying for it through the nose. and everything, like I've said on numerous occasions, I've got a pal of mine who runs one of the best tips in Manchester in Trafford Park, and he has told me what you should do here. I've mentioned it on numerous occasions. If the government would give me the land, I could run a tip here where everything that comes in is recycled.
All right.
Simple as that. But the main point of all this, you'll always have fly tipping. I don't care. You know, people go on and on about how everybody's really hard up at the moment. So if you have to pay 40 quid, say, for a telly or a microwave, then you're going to throw it over the nearest hedge. It's logic. So do away with the fees, and you've got your answer to your problem.
Okay, all right.
And it would clean Ronak up.
Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you, Eddie. Regarding the fly tipper manhunt, this is 303, who just said, doth the police go as far as looking for local Ring doorbell footage at the relevant time in the attempt to identify the vehicle? That's Makin Bride. Well, I don't think there'll be any Ring bell doorbell stuff around Dalby. However, somebody somewhere recently has had a load of glass, some garden waste taken away, and some building all in the same lot. And somebody's taken it away on a van. And they've dumped it in the countryside. In the countryside. It's very, very visible, or was. Defra, you and I have had to pay for this now. Defra have had to go and get it. So how do we stop this? Do you agree with Eddie in that we should just make all tipping free? Or what? What do we do? And if, I mean, Eddie, as he said, in 3 years has picked up 15 bits, ranging from a microwave to a big fridge to a large television. That's, now, if you extrapolate that right across the Isle of Man, and I'm talking about the rural north, the rural west, in the south, in the centre, imagine the stuff that's knocking around that maybe, as Eddie said, blocking waterways. What would you do? Here's Betty now. Hello, Betty.
Hi. I just want to say that I'm an atheist, but I think I'm perfectly happy for Christianity to be taught in schools, and I think it probably should, because we're still supposed to be a Christian country.
How far? When you say taught in school, what sort of stuff should be taught in school?
Well, just the general things about what Christianity is and so forth.
The Ten Commandments?
Yes, and just general things that we need to know about Christianity.
Yeah. Some people just say that forcing religious thought onto people is, you know.
No, you wouldn't be forcing it on them. You'd just be teaching them about it. You wouldn't force it on them at all. And other religions could come into it a little bit, but I think mainly Christianity, because most of the things that the Christian religion says are fair and good for us.
When you were at school, Betty, did they have a religious service every day? Did you sing hymns?
Yes, we did. And I was very happy. I liked singing hymns. And I don't think the children were made to think too much about religion, but it was good. And the other thing is that it can combat some of the things that children are indoctrinated in these days, like all the genders and everything.
Okay.
So I honestly think we should continue with Christianity and Christian religions in school, even though I'm an atheist. And I think I don't want everybody to be atheists at all. In fact, I'm happy for people to be Christians because I think it gives them hope, which I don't have for an afterlife.
Oh, you're a sinner. You're a lost hope, are you, Betty?
Probably.
All right. Thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you. When does household waste become commercial waste? Says 404. If a householder takes glass to the amenity site, they can put it in FOC. But if they pay somebody to tip it at the amenity site, it becomes commercial waste, the same as carpets and many other items. So why didn't that person who had glass, why didn't they just take it to the site themselves? Well, presumably because it was too big to put in a car, I'm guessing. And once it goes into a commercial vehicle, it becomes commercial waste. Is that so? But if it's household waste, it's house, and it becomes commercial waste because they pay somebody. Is that how it works? Remember, anything you hear on Man in Line, of course, is opinion. It's all opinion. And if you want to present a counterpoint to someone's point, by all means, you have the right of reply. Anything you want to talk about, then by all means, do get in touch. And I think we've got... it is Robert with us now. Hello, Robert.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, we're well today, thanks.
I've just been to the cafe and had lasagna and chips, so I don't feel the least bit bad about it.
Well, that's fine.
Look, the guys are up at the conference today. They're not talking about AI and how great computers are, and they're all going to save the day and the big government conference. Is that correct?
No, they are talking about AI. Apparently, AI is the future.
Well, I agree with them, but I think it's a side issue of spades on the ground as far as housing. And I'd like to address that subject because we don't seem to be any closer to, you know, squashing that fly, really, do we?
Well, some of the commissioners want to, and certainly Mr. Watson in Douglas wants to buy more, build more social housing.
Yeah, I think he's after grants from the government and things like that, and I think he's held up in the administration side of it, isn't he? I think he's trying, but I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's all about money. Everything's about money, Robert.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Of course it's about money, but I mean, you know, I think there is a lack of political will, let's say. Do you feel it? I mean, it just seems to me that, you know, the Timwell themselves just seem to be like, oh, it's like the council's gone to it. What in Ireland, what they have is a fund. Now, I don't want to bang on too much about Ireland, because as soon as I do, I turn off all the unionists, but I'll crap on anyway. But when they have funds for, like, development funds for, like, town centres and domestic social housing and things like that, they've got to go to the government and ask for that, that money, you know, that grant. So I'm surprised the government isn't just saying, well, I'll tell you what, instead of us sorting it out, why don't we just send letters out to all the commissioners who own some housing anyway, do they not? Because it's commissioner housing quite a lot of the time. In the and the Alaman's mostly green, and you fly over the Alaman, it's green, so there are places and spots around the Alaman that could be developed, and get the commissioners to accept it a bit more.
Well, we'll certainly find out, because in a year's time, a year tomorrow, we're going to have a general election, so it's certainly something the politicians are going to be talking about.
You keep on banging on about that, don't you?
For the next year, you'll be sick and tired of me talking about the election.
You're really pinning your hopes on this. Do you think there's going to be much of a change? I can't see anything magical happening. I think Jane Poole Wilson is still going to be there with a big truncheon or whatever, over the head.
Hope springs eternal, Robert. Hope springs eternal. I'm a wide-eyed optimist. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Robert. Thanks for that. My neighbour took his American-style fridge to the amenity site, but said it was too expensive for him to leave there, so he brought it home, and over the next few weeks he broke it down and put it in the wheelie bin in pieces. That's pointless. The government needs to change and start helping people to dispose of these items properly, says Tony. Well, that's been mentioned many times on this show. Get the angle grinder out and break it up and put it into your bin. I'm not suggesting you should, but some people do. There's also that policy that works in Europe, in that when you buy white goods in Europe, the disposal charge is built in, it's baked into the price that you pay, and there's a code, there's a number on every white good, fridges, freezers, dishwashers, the whole lot, microwaves. And when it comes to the end of its life, you take it to an amenity site in Europe. They look up the code, scan the barcode or whatever it is, or the QI code, and there you are. It's paid for. It's paid. Now, do we pay that on the Isle of Man? So when you buy a fridge or freezer or anything on the Isle of Man, are we paying that disposal thing? If we were in Europe, which we're not, but if we're paying it, why isn't it being picked up? Because, as Eddie said, some people will just look at the cost of disposing white goods and think, too much. And then one dark night, it'll be lobbed out the back of a van or off the back of a tipper, and there it is in the countryside. And we'll have to pay for somebody to go and pick it up. Does that make sense?
All right, Andy.
Jeff's here now. Hello, Jeff.
Good afternoon, Andy. How are you today?
Not
just
bad.
Just a quick call. Good. It's not a whinge or a moan. It's more of an observation, Andy. I was on about a month ago now about mobility scooters, because unfortunately I'm disabled now and I have to use a scooter. I've just booked flights from the Isle of Man to Portugal via Manchester, Loganair to Manchester, EasyJet to Faro. Done two different airlines because of the times of the flights, etc., etc. Didn't want an overnight stop. Normally, taking a mobility scooter away on an aircraft is not an issue. The lead-acid battery, if it's got one, goes in the hold of the scooter, and the name of the battery escapes me now. The lithium, sorry, with a friend, the lithium battery goes in the cab with the passenger. I've got the flights booked, paid for, and then 3 or 4 days later, Loganair have come back to me saying, "We're sorry, we no longer carry lead acid batteries on the aircraft because of safety reasons. They will carry lithium, but they won't carry lead acid, although EasyJet, etc., will." So I'm not so much whinging about Loganair, because it's the private airline, they can do what they like. But I think people should be aware of this, because I'm sure there are a lot of people who have to travel to hospital in Liverpool via Loganair, who of course have got the government contract, who need their mobility scooter or their wheelchair.
Right.
So it's just for an information thing more than anything else. Before you book your flights, make sure that your scooter will go on the aircraft or your wheelchair will go on the aircraft.
Okay. So which is the airline that's changed their mind?
Loganair.
Right. Loganair have changed their mind.
Yeah.
Which is very important.
I've no idea why. Well, it can be important if you're stuck in a wheelchair and you can't get to Liverpool via Loganair. You can't go the day you want to go. EasyJet will still do it. They're quite happy to do it, but Loganair won't.
Okay.
I just thought I'd bring it to people's attention, Andy.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Jeff.
No, have a great show.
Cheers. All right. 1:16. There's a seal stuck on the tongue in Douglas. Now, we don't know whether the seal is injured, but it's likely trapped by the swing bridge. There is a seal on the tongue in Douglas. Somebody look after the seal, would they?
Tower Insurance has been insuring and serving the Isle of Man community since 1928 and has become a trusted partner for many on the island, being there for the community when they need us most. On the 6th of October, Tower Insurance takes on a new identity, Intact Insurance Isle of Man, part of the Intact Financial Corporation. As Intact Insurance Isle of Man, being part of a global insurer, we will continue to help Manx people, businesses and society prosper in good times and be resilient in bad times. If you would like to find out more, please contact us on 645 900.
Customers love Big Red self-storage Ronald's Way. And now Big Red Tremode has arrived with 68 ground floor units. Don't know what size you need? Our online tool will help, with prices from just £8 a week and your first 4 weeks half price. Big Red offer 24/7 access, covered loading bay, trolleys, stable temperature, automatic lighting and CCTV. Check out Big Red Tremode behind the old vehicle test centre. BigRed.im. Call 640040.
Hi Liz, I see you've had your garage converted. We're desperate for more room.
Yes.
come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Ever wonder, have you got what it takes to be a firefighter, part-time or full-time? Come along to our Come and Try session, 25th of September, or female-only session on the 23rd. And visit gov.im/jobs.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Feel your body heavy and relaxed. Breathe in and be aware of the space around you.
This month's podcast is for comfort and relaxation. Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
Breathe in and tell yourself something lovely. If you're struggling with this, what would you say to someone who you love?
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thank you, 622, who tells me the seal is being monitored and is having a rest before the tide comes in. And lunch, presumably. Religious education should be optional in school. I'd rather my son have extra maths or an English lesson. Maths and English can help him get a job. Religious education doesn't, says 795. About 30 years ago, this is WhatsApper 330, what, 30 years ago, I was in Archaligan Plantation. Somebody had thrown about 15 office chairs over the wall into the plantation. I called the forestry board, as it was then. So this has been happening for years and years and years. It might be interesting to know how much it's costing to get all this stuff. And why 15 office chairs? Why would anybody do that? We all knew, says this correspondent, when they brought in the extra charges, that fly tipping would become the norm. If the island wasn't so concerned about going green, they wouldn't have added these extra charges. So is it the green charges that has caused fly tipping? Is this what's happened? Because surely we need to stop it. Any thoughts on this? The rubbish that was pictured in Dalby appears to be builder's waste. If it was a contractor that dumped this, they would have passed the charge on to the client. Therefore, there was no excuse for fly tipping. If it was a household who dumped this rubbish, there wouldn't have been a charge at the amenity site. So there was no reason for the fly tipping. So, what is it then? Is it a contractor who's pocketed the money? Or didn't charge enough and therefore the job wouldn't have been worth doing? What is it? I mean, we can't have this, can we? We can't have people dumping. It's a large amount of debris that's now on the ground in the countryside near the round table. Religion is all history. We still have Catholics because Guy Fawkes succeeded in his failure. Just history, says 603. And this correspondent says, Andy, if we're going to get religion out of schools, does this mean that there will be no Christmas trees in schools or no Easter eggs in schools? Because I thought Christmas and Easter are religious festivals. They can't have it both ways. I just want to speak about the roadworks at the bottom of Braddon School. What a joke it was this morning. Traffic was backed up down the bottom of Tramode Road. It was worse than the TT. Maybe they should open the access road and have it one way towards Douglas to ease early morning congestion. Can't believe it's going to be worse when the mountain reopens in 4 weeks' time. Of course, the mountain's closed at the moment because they're doing, is it drainage work? Something anyway. I agree with Eddie about having the tip free to take everything. The actual cost of clearing up all the dumped items must be something that could counteract the cost of the Isle of Man. We can deal with anything that can't be recycled. Fly tipping is absolutely awful.
LVW Law are a team of experienced advocates, solicitors and barristers, trained mediators and international arbitrators. Let them help you achieve the best possible outcome in your case with their wide range of legal services for businesses, corporate and private clients. You can trust the LVW Law team to fight for you every step of the way. Visit lvwlaw.com and make an appointment today. Your first 30 minutes are free. LVW Law, they're on your side.
Align for Life has been helping Manx residents for 16 years with holistic, evidence-based care and therapies. Join our free health talk on how to get breakthroughs with headaches, Tuesday the 23rd of September at 6:30 p.m. Seats are limited, so call 629-444 to book. Align for Life could be the answer for your headaches. That's 629-444 to book. Align for Life.
Logan Air says, let the wee ones fly. Kids aged 11 and under go fare free. Just pay the taxes. Your next family adventure awaits. Book by the 23rd of September. Find deals at loganair.co.uk. T's and C's apply, subject to availability. Children must travel with a full fare-paying accompanying adult.
Need help with your business finances? Nicola Bowker & Co. has helped hundreds of businesses achieve a firm financial footing. Here to guide you to financial success. Contact Nicola Bowker, accountants and tax advisors to businesses on the Isle of Man.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for joining Man in Line on Manx Radio.
The big problem is, and to this day, and in 20 years, I can't remember anybody ever being made accountable. Who's ever been fined for fly tipping? I can't remember a case. I mean, maybe you guys can, but the problem is no accountability. Therefore, people just carry on dumping stuff.
Recognise the voice, Bill Dale. From Beach Buddies. He's been picking up rubbish on our beaches and has had umpteen thousand people join him as volunteers. And there's the point in all this time.
The big problem is, and to this day, and in 20 years, I can't remember anybody ever being made accountable. Who's ever been fined for fly tipping? I can't remember a case. I mean, maybe you guys can, but the problem is no accountability. Therefore, people just carry on dumping stuff.
And unless we do something, unless this is seen as what it is, antisocial behaviour, this will go on. And until that person who dumped all that stuff at Dalby is brought to book, then it will go on. People get away with it. And if what Eddie says is right, if people are struggling and can't afford 50, 60, 70, 100 pounds, whatever, to get rid of stuff, then surely we have to cope with it. We can't just say, if you can't pay, that's it, because it will then get thrown into the countryside and we'll end up paying anyway. So what do you think we do about it? Text, email, call, WhatsApp.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
I'm not sure how it compares, charges going up in the UK. In Epsom, that's in Surrey, isn't it? Just finished a bathroom. The council says the householder has to pay fees or he or she gets rid of a bathroom or two bags of tiles or one plasterboard in any 7-day period. Before, we didn't seem to have these limits and we used to recycle a lot. Why has it all changed? Oh, the seal isn't by the swing bridge, apparently. It's the other end. I took these pictures at 6:30 this morning while out walking the dog, says Vince. I hope the seal survives. Do let me know. There's nothing stopping an unscrupulous company charging a disposal fee for tipping and then fly tipping, says Mark. Well, no, I mean, there is, Mark, and that is eternal vigilance. We've all got to watch out. And certainly if you're having some work done at home and somebody says it is going to be disposed of at the tip, then perhaps actually make sure. I mean, you could go so far as asking for, well, perhaps a photo of it being tipped away. Photos cost nothing nowadays, don't they? If you wonder why things are being lit up pink this week, it's organ donation week. As of the 31st of August this year, 14 people on the Isle of Man are waiting for a transplant. The initiative aims to raise awareness of the life-saving impact of organ transplant. Nobles Hospital, the Legislative Buildings, Douglas City Hall, Ramsey Town Hall, Ramsey Courthouse, the Swing Bridge, the Roundhouse at Braddon, Maloo Commissioners, Port St Mary Town Hall, the Tower of Refuge, the Prom, the City Centre in Douglas, all pink this week. Remember, W.I.